This is going to be a two-part service. The first part, I get to speak and share. The second part is Gary Carpenter's, and he gets to come up and correct any mistakes that I make. One of the stones, if you consider it a stone in the foundation of Gary's ministry, or we could call it his blueprint, is that sometime back, I believe it was 2004, Gary received a word from the Lord that said that he was required by the Lord to pull the church back on its foundation, and that the Lord showed him that he was what we would call a nut bolt that was driven deep into the foundation of the truth, and it had a large line attached to the church, and that the Lord himself had a hold of the other end, and he was pulling the church back onto the foundation of doctrine. When I mentioned that the first time in some service that I had, I didn't realize the importance that Gary had in that word. And when I handed him the mic or asked him to share, he said he knows, absolutely knows, that when he kneels before the Lord in heaven, that that one thing will be how the Lord judges him as to whether he was true to the truth and to the word, and did he spend his entire life pulling the church back on the foundation. So consequently, that's what we believe here at the prayer center. We believe in his blueprint. So anyone that, I won't go negative, bottom line of it is Gary Carpenter is pulling the church back on the foundation. Okay. Since the beginning of the prayer center, the Lord has given us very few warnings. He's given much instruction, and you're all a part of that. He's given much encouragement, and he has given very few warnings. I'm going to mention a couple. There's only a handful or two handful since 1989. But he gave us a warning a year ago, and we will look at the path to be sure that we adhere to that warning. One of the first warnings that he gave us was that we were to be a people that took no offense and gave no offense. And if we were able to be conformed to his image, to where we gave no offense and we received no offense, we would be ready for the beginning of revival. It does not mean that you become lukewarm, wishy-washy, whatever word you want to use. Jesus never one time gave an offense. But much of his life, people received an offense that was not even given because of where they were, not where he was. That was one of the earlier warnings. The next one was, I'm warning you, I'm really warning you, that the enemy is going to come And almost his number one attack was to separate the hand from the foot, to separate the eyes from the mouth. Separation. Because he knows divided, an army can never win. So separation. The third one was that we needed to learn, and I mean learn and study, how to overcome the spirit of Jezebel. The fourth one was get in shape. And you can tell by looking at me that I'm a great example of being disobedient in regards to getting in shape. And we smile and we laugh or kid or whatever. But if he would show each one of us, and some of you have seen, the end of your life and the amount that you are unable to fulfill your call because you didn't heed that warning, I believe we all would take stock and say, Lord, teach us how to get into shape. The fifth one was never, ever, never, ever leave the foundation of the teachings that come forth from the prayer center. And for those of you that may not know, there are seven keys, there are seven rooms, there are seven paths on this narrow path. The seven keys, most of you could probably quote them to me. One is praying in tongues. Second one is confession. Third one is meditation. Fourth one is fasting. Fifth one is praise and worship. The sixth one is waiting on God. And the seventh is co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. That in a very precise, complete nutshell is the seven rooms. You can choose to stay out of any of those rooms, or you can choose not to put one of those keys in your hand and use it. You'll still make it to heaven, guaranteed. But when each one of us kneel independently, alone, before him, we will see how valuable the room was that we didn't walk into, and how much more we could have accomplished. He recently said that there would be early going home to be with him, that his long suffering would be lifted. Would be lifted. Because he wanted that individual in heaven with him throughout eternity. And they had come to a point that he had to remove his long suffering so that he could bring him home early. Now we have many scriptures for that. You know most of them. But let's go on to the one warning that just recently come. And to begin, I'd like you to go to Genesis chapter 2. I most likely will only give the reference. I didn't bring my Bible of all things. I could open up my iPad and I could read the whole chapter and we could spend a lot of time, but I'm going to address specific things so that you are out of here before 5 o'clock tonight. Let's go to Genesis, the second chapter, and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. If you want to circle, if you're a Bible marker, I would circle the word breath. He wasn't a living soul, though he was completely complete until the Lord breathed and gave him the breath of life, the breath of the Spirit. He became a human being, perfectly made. Now let's go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses, we'll go to verse 21 and 22. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto him, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." I believe that that's when they become born again. The same breath that he gave to us to become a live creature, he breathed on us to become a brand new creature. It's the only time in the New Testament that that word breath is used. And the moment that he said, that he breathed on them, he said two things. Receive the Holy Ghost, and as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I'm giving you all the authority that I had to do all the work that I had to do while I was here. And I'm sending you exactly the way my Father sent me out. And I'm not sending you out without power, without wisdom, without love, without everything that I am. I've given it all to you. Because that breath created your born-again spirit. Okay? Now let's go to the next. I'm going to give you three references. I'm already feeling paced, like, don't take so long. I'm going to give you three sections of Scripture. First one is Matthew 9. Verses 2 through 8. Second one is Mark 2, 1 through 12. And the third one is Luke 5, 17 through 26. We've been taught and continually taught, don't take a verse out of context. I would read the whole chapter if I were you. But within those three references, the Holy Spirit has brought forth a revelational truth that we all need to understand. So I'm going to read something. No, I'm not. I'm going to go right to the verse. Let's go to Matthew 9, 6. This is the experience in the Lord Jesus' life where he was so crowded with people. He was in a home. There was no room. He was healing everyone. And four men brought a man who could not walk and was paralyzed. And they went up on the roof. They tore apart the roof. I mean, when I think about that, I wonder if any two-by-fours fell down or any clay tile. Because it said they went up on the roof, all four of them with this cot, with someone that couldn't walk, paralyzed, broke open the roof and let him down through. And you know it didn't disturb his service? Of course, I'm sure that he knew that it was going to happen. I mean, he had fellowship with his father this morning and say, you know, be careful. You need to stand in this spot so nothing hits you, or however it took place. But I'm going to drop him down. And incidentally, I'm going to send ahead of time many of the Sadducees and the Pharisees and religion. And here's what I'm going to have you say. I want you to have a full audience of what I'm about going to have you say to the world. I'm going to have all your accusers. I'm going to have all of the smart ones, all that know the law backwards and forwards. And Jesus said, I'm going to read a little bit more. I'm going to start in Matthew 9:2. Each one of them. It's amazing when the Lord created the word that he wanted us to have that we call the Bible, that he made sure that this is in three. If you don't read it one time, you'll read it again. This is one of the foundation stones. This is very important. So I'm going to make sure that Matthew and Mark and Luke all have it. And you understand, Luke was not one of the 12. He got it through revelation knowledge, or he got it through word of mouth. He is the historian within the word. And his hand was controlled by the Holy Spirit and only wrote what was absolutely true, etc. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick and palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes. They said it within themselves. They were not bold enough to say it out loud. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, Arise and walk? To the Lord Jesus, there was no difference between the two. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, he saith to the sick and the palsy, Arise, take up your bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed into his house. But when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. If you want to circle anything in each one of these passages, I would circle the verse that says, But ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sin. Then saith he to the sick and the palsy, arise. And such power was given unto man. In each one of them, it says identically the same thing. Now let's go to Luke 23. And the verses, when you begin to meditate this, I would begin with really the entire chapter, but verses 24 through 36. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them Barabbas. And then, you know, they found someone to carry the Lord Jesus' cross. Then let's go to verse 31. For if they do things to a green tree, what shall be done to a dry? For there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right and one on the other. Circle verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his remnant and cast lots. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you believe he was talking to the soldiers that knew exactly how to drive the spike in his hands that caused the most amount of pain? Or do you think he was talking to those that drove the spikes in his feet? Or those that picked the cross up and dropped it about 3 feet to 4 feet into the ground with such a thud that it destroyed everything and opened up all those wounds? I believe Jesus was saying, Father, Father, I'm still the Son of Man. I'm still alive. And Father, I've already forgiven the whole world. Will you forgive them? I have fulfilled what you sent me to do. And because I have authority on the earth, still as the Son of Man, I say, Father, from everything within me, from my heart, I say, forgive them. Will you forgive them? I'm paying the price. Will you forgive them? Now let's go back to John 22. I know you've all studied positional truths. A good study of positional truth would be out at Gary's website. He has a document out there called the Mere Confessions. I thought I had my copy here, but I don't. I would go out and get that document and begin to see who you really are according to heaven, not according to your best friends, but according to heaven. But in John chapter 20, verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now let's read the next verse. whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. If you take the word remit and cross it out and put the word forgive, you will have a proper translation. It is the same identical word that the Lord used every time as a son of man that he said, I forgive you. Is it easier for me to say, your sins be forgiven, or rise up and walk? When he spoke this to the disciples, positionally, he was no longer the Son of Man here on earth. He will always be the Son of Man. Always, always, always. Do you notice it was the very first instruction that he gave to the body, his body, once they received the Holy Ghost? When they became born again and had a brand new spirit, with that, he gave them the authority that he once only had to his body to be able to forgive sin. Do you think any of the soldiers, when he said to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, do you think any of them repented? Do you think any of them laid down everything, you know, and said, I'm leaving the army, and I know he's the Son of God? One did. But he never left. He wasn't born again yet. None of them repented until later. But here, it's saying, whosoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. And whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. The word retained, as you can tell, I'm not a Bible scholar, but I can tell you that if I retained Seneca, she wouldn't be able to move. She'd have to sit there. She wouldn't be released to go do what she's supposed to do. That's what we do. That's what we do when we choose not to forgive. It was his highest priority. His highest priority. The first thing, the first instruction that he gave his disciples after they received the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. The very first thing he had on his heart and mind as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and High Priest, etc., etc. I want you to remember this, guys. Now that you're born again, they didn't understand the word born again yet, right? They were novice. But he said, now hear me. And hear me good. I don't know what experience they experienced when he said, and when he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Yes, he said, now I want you to tarry, go to the upper room, etc. But I'm giving you the only instruction that I have for you above everything else, is I want you to know that you walk in authority to forgive and set them free. And if you don't, that sin will be retained. But I want you to know that my heart's desire, as I was on the cross, as I said to my Father, Father, Will you please forgive them? For they don't know what they do. They have no idea, the whole world, and that's how I've been sent. And now I'm sending, what does it say? He said, I'm going to send you out, just like my Father sent you out. That's your first and only call. I'm giving you authority. I'm not sending you out powerless. I'm sending you out just like my Father sent me out. My Father sent me out, and he sent me out not to condemn the world, but for the world through me might be saved. I'm sending you out with that message. You're forgiven. I forgive you. I have authority on this earth to forgive you. I am the Son of Man. And he tells his disciples, I am no longer on this earth. I've given you all the power, all the authority as my body. And I want you to keep in mind, number one priority is to forgive, to forgive, to forgive, to forgive. Gary already has the mic on his face. I'm going to read to you the prophecy that came forth September 7th, 2014. We've had a year to walk in this. We've had a year to be prepared for what soon is to come. And when I say soon, I mean soon. This came forth September 7th, 2014. This is a warning, really. This is a warning. If you are going to walk in the power of revival, I'm telling you, people are going to die. I'm telling you, you cannot walk in the revival power because it cuts both ways. It cuts both ways. Two-edged sword cuts both ways. You cannot walk in unforgiveness and walk in that level of power. You cannot, absolutely cannot, walk in the power that we're all pressing towards if you walk in unforgiveness. So if you cannot forgive them, skedaddle. Nor, you know, Gary normally talks like that, right? You know. If you cannot forgive, skedaddle. Leave here. Leave here. Leave this conference. Leave here. You hear me? You hear me? I'm trying to save your life. It's serious. If you're not serious about this and about the love of God, what? You don't need forgiveness? What? You're the judge now? It's okay for you to judge? No, it's not. The only reason you're going to heaven is the blood of Jesus. Get over yourself. He recently said, in addition to that, he said there is no, could write this one down, there is no unforgiveness allowed in the room of love. There is no, absolutely no unforgiveness allowed in the room of love, in the room that Dave Singh cracked. You heard that at the beginning of the week as Gary shared. There's no unforgiveness allowed. Now, when Stephen was martyred, he said, at least he said the same principle when he said, "Father, please don't lay this sin to their charge. Please." He was operating, as you read it, meditate, enjoy having the Holy Spirit read it back to you, etc., the way you study the Word. He was walking, to me, he was walking. He had already visited that room of love, and he had already walking in the power of revival, and he came to the place where he was doing so much damage to the religion or the kingdom that they decided to stone him. But he was inside that room and said, "Lay not this sin to their charge." I feel as though the Lord recently said to me that we need to begin to take the stones out of our mouth and put them on the cross. That we don't have a physical stone that we can throw at somebody. But the stones that you have is your mouth and the things that are coming in my mouth. I'll look back here like Gary does sometimes. I'm not looking at anybody but myself. "Father, forgive me, for I know not what I'm doing. Please forgive me." And don't allow me to ever have a stone in my mouth that I destroy someone else. If you read Proverbs, if you go, I'll give you Proverbs 7. No, it's Proverbs 6, I believe. "These six things does the Lord hate? Yea, seven are an abomination unto him." You know, the lying, the sowing discord among the brethren. Look at all seven of them. We have entered into that level of accountability before the Lord, everyone in this room. So as Gary comes, I'll ask you to do this. I'd ask you to close your eyes, and I'd like you to begin saying to yourself the word forgiven, forgiven. And whoever the Holy Spirit brings up to your mind, I would like from your heart, as best as you can, "Father, I forgive them. I forgive them." As you walk into this room that we're wanting to walk into for revival, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance unforgiveness that you do not remember because you have forgotten. But he knows that there is a residue inside your heart of unforgiveness that you've forgotten. We all have them. We all have them. And as we heard yesterday and all week, as he brings them to your remembrance, you know, it is his grace, the power that is in that grace, to forgive them from your heart, okay, and set them free.